Today is October 29th, 2013, and we are continuing the mitzvah of not eating chametz. We're in the middle of the feast from the Sefer Noyam HaMitzvahs. We're good? One of the benefits of the first Seder program is that Rabbi Greenspan has now become technologically savvy, which is something I never expected him to have to do. I had the same situation about 10 years ago, and I assume the position that I'm in right now at the Kollel, I was forced. I didn't even have a computer at home. I had nothing. And I was sort of forced to learn the ropes. And so we welcome Rabbi Greenspan to the club. In any case, in the Sefer Noyam HaMitzvahs, we had a fascinating explanation to the concept of not refraining from eating chametz. Chametz, we know, is symbolic of the Yetzer Hara, but the unusual and seemingly contradictory ideas that it's forbidden more than any other machalas asuras, any other forbidden foods that we have in the Torah, for the period of the 7 days, in the sense that you even b'mashu, even the smallest amount, trace amount, is forbidden. But yet, as soon as Pesach is over, it switches over and now becomes totally. Now, we had said in the past that the reason for that is because there's a recognition that we have to live in this world with the Yetzer Hara. But for 7 days, for 8 days, we need intense therapy to keep us that reminder of what we really are. Like the old bumper sticker I saw about 10 years ago that said, we are not physical beings going through a spiritual experience. We're spiritual beings going through a physical experience. Okay, as I tell one of my Talmidim, I tell him all the time, you know, you can't measure eternity. Eternity is, you can't define it, it's not finite, there's no defined. But if you were, for argument's sake, to say that eternity is the width of this room, right? You know, a scratch, a thin, thin scratch across that width. You know, just to give us some sort of perception, some sort of contrast, would be, you know, the lifetime of a human being. Right? Of course, eternity is far, far, far longer than the width of this room, even in that example. But for the short period of time that we're here, we have to deal with our Yetzer Hara, but what are we really? So Pesach is a time to really emphasize for ourselves, a reminder for ourselves, that we are really a spiritual being that temporarily has, for a finite period of time, has an experience where they are now fused together with a guf, with a body. Our neshama doesn't even want it, the Gemara tells us. We kick and scream before we enter the body, but it's the Rachmei Hashem that we're here together with that body, that partnership, that we're able to actually accomplish things and earn our chelik and olam haba. But in any case, the idea here that he's giving, that was our, what we've said in the past. What he said here that we've learned till now is this idea that it's a lesson to every human being, especially to the Jewish people. If you look at the story of Mitzrayim was we were in the 49th level of Tumah. We were on the lowest level, and not instantaneously, but over a very, very short period of time, relatively, we rose to a very, very lofty level. And really, the lesson is of Pesach is that every one of us has the ability to change. And not only to change, but to change drastically. I think we told over the story a few months ago about Rabbi Brevda. I heard the Brevda is a friend of the Rebbe of Rabbi Greenspan, where he had met a girl who unfortunately was pretty much off the derech, and he had an opportunity to speak to her for about 15 minutes. One of the family members brought her in and asked if he would speak to her for 15 minutes. So what did he say? He said, the thought in my youth that helped me really work on myself was the idea that humans are very, very flexible versus animals. Animals are very rigid. They have a certain instincts, and they follow certain rules, basically within a certain boundary. And that's what they do. They can't change their nature. their nature, their instinct, that's what they are. Human beings, on the other hand, he said, could be, and he quoted this from a sefer that I believe Reb Chaim Volozhin used to say, that human beings, you could do something. Oh, Reb Zundel Salant who said this. You could do something for 80 years. Same thing. You could develop a habit, and at that point say, of course, I'm not going to change now. But yet, a human being has the ability to change, to be flexible. And that midah is really something that animals don't have. He said, and in his youth, he said that that thought gave him great comfort and great courage and great strength. He conveyed that to this girl. This girl probably thought that since she's engaged in every activity possible that was forbidden, that there's no hope for her, and she was able to actually turn her life around based on these words of encouragement. So really here, that's the lesson that he's talking about. We have here a situation with the Jewish people in the deepest depths of Tumah. So close that the Malachim themselves were saying there's no distinction between the two. And yet, we were able to pull out of it, and not only that, rise to the level 50, a mere 50 days later, to rise to the level of accepting the Torah, and that is really what the Chametz itself symbolizes. This is something we almost forgot to tie the loose end, but that's what Norm was encouraging us to do by the last year, was that's the lesson of the Chametz. The Chametz is something forbidden, it's something so poisonous, it's something so, and then overnight it becomes permitted. We're going from a situation of where this sort of thing could be highly, highly detrimental to us, to a very high level of the way a Jew lives during the rest of the year. And that was thanks to Pesach and thanks to the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Really, it was like a rebirth. I mean, it says, what's the pasuk? It speaks about take one nation out from the other. It was like a birth. It became a totally a new entity, an independent entity, entirely different than we were before. Now then, if you look about halfway down the paragraph there on page 35 in the Sefer Naamitzis, it's underlined there. Page 35, the big, huge paragraph, halfway down. It says, "V'zeh echad min ha'taimim asher hizhira ha'taira gdeisha lizkor tam Yetzias Mitzrayim." This is one of the reasons why the Torah demands of us to constantly remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. We have a mitzvah every day, besides for the mitzvah of Sipur. We actually do that in the Kriya Shema, and one is supposed to have in mind when one says, "Ani Hashem alekeh asher yetzisicha," right? Eretz Mitzrayim. We're supposed to have in mind that mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim each day. So he says, this is one of the reasons why the Torah often says, Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's the hemshech of the kasuk, that's the continuation of the pasuk. It says, Vayomer Moshe la'am. Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, Beis Avadim. Remember this day that we left Mitzrayim from the Beis Avadim, from the house of servitude, from the house of slavery. Because with a very strong hand Hashem took us out, and you should not eat chametz. Very simple explanation, but a very simple question, but a very strong one. It's like a total non sequitur, it would seem, right? Remember the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim because I took you out of it. And don't eat chametz. What's the connection? Hashem took us out with a strong hand and don't eat chametz. Ach kefi hamavur lamayla asi shapir. When I was a kid, they used to have, you know, the roses are red, violets are blue jokes, you know?
Yeah.
So I had a friend who used to say, roses are red, violets are blue. I love peanut butter. Do you know how to swim? Right. But what's the connection one to the other? She says, but kefi amavur, according to the way we explained earlier, it's very good. According to what it says in Chazal, shesarai shel Mitzrayim ton, the sar of Mitzrayim, the angel of Mitzrayim said, halolu avdei avdei zarah, halolu avdei avdei zarah. There's no difference between the two. They're both idol worshippers. That's the expression of chayzek yad. Hashem needed to exercise strength of hand, which means great might, to pull us out, because we were in a situation where we were so low that there was no difference between us and Mitzrayim. But he took us out very quickly from Memtesh Shari Tuma, from the 49th level, to Avi Eschem Eloi, to where? El Roim Mailas HaKedusha. All the way to the highest heights, to the point of being able to receive the Torah. Hu Dugmas Achilas Chametz Asher BePesach Shaira Olav Ruach HaTuma. This is a symbolic of the chametz, is symbolic of this, because on Pesach it has the Ruach HaTuma rests on it. V'tekev achar Pesach, and immediately after Pesach, yishapech liyos gomor, leheter gomor, it immediately converts to something that's entirely permitted. V'myoichel hachametz hazeh b'machshava, sheyoichel kedei lechazek es gufay. And when it comes to the regular year, if you have in mind when you eat the chametz, that you're doing it in order to give yourself strength to serve Hashem, Torah, Avodas Hashem. Now what happens to the chametz? The chametz now becomes a holy entity. You've now converted it into something holy. What should you remember about this day? By remembering this day, you're going to remember what happened, the transformation that happened, and the speed at which it happened. You'll remember ki bizman kal al yedei tshuva el geder hakedusha, by returning to the realm of kedusha, you'll be able to, in a very, very short period of time, transform yourself into a very, very high level. And with this thought, that's what it means when it says, Hayom atem yaitzim b'chaydesh aviv. Hashem made it a point to stress that we left Mitzrayim in the springtime. Why is that so important? Not only that, we know that from this pasuk, we learn from the fact that the Torah uses the word aviv, as in spring, not as in father. Right? Sorry about that. What the Torah means to tell us is that we should adjust the calendar to make sure that we have Pesach in the springtime. Otherwise, all the discrepancy between the lunar and the solar calendar will cause Pesach to fall out at different times of the year. Could you imagine having Pesach in the middle of the summer, or in the Sukkot time? But this commands Chazal to regulate the calendar in such a way that Pesach always comes out in the springtime. Why is that so important?
Well, just like spring is the birth in terms of everything starts to grow in the beginning.
Excellent, so, excellent. So to the Jews. I always thought that the reason is because we have to have we always have to have Elul in a time of tshuva right after the summertime when we go to camp and have a good time. No, that's not. That was when I was a kid. Now I think it's a pretty good idea, but I think Hashem designed Elul before the summer camps. But exactly what Jew is saying, Hashem deliberately wants there to be a connection between Pesach and the springtime. Why? Look what he says. It's so beautiful the way he says this. There's no connection between springtime and Pesach, one would think. What's it teaching us? Hashem is telling us now, there's a very deliberate and specific reason why I took you out during the springtime. To show you, just like in the spring, there's now a rejuvenation in the land. Yes, not J-E-W. Yeah? Tachas asher achai ad koi. Asher haya ad koi. Yemei choshech yemei shalek v'tzina. In the place of the fact that until now, over the course of the winter, everything was cold and snowy and there's death all over. I mean, everything is in decay, everything is frozen, everything is. All the leaves fall off, there's all. Right? V'asavim. And the grasses and all the leaves of the trees shrivel. If you look at this in a very narrow-minded way, you look at just the picture of what's going on right before the winter or during the winter, you say there's no tikvah of ne'adam lehonais mipritvulasa. There's no hope for humans to appreciate, to cultivate, to enjoy the land. By the way, you know, at the beginning of days, the first time there was a cycle with the sun, Adam Arishan actually was worried. Yes? You familiar with this? He was worried. That's why some of the chagim or chagas of the Goyim come out at the end of the Tekufas. It's a whole Gemara and the Zara, but basically he thought that the world was coming to an end because of his sin. The days would get shorter and shorter and shorter, like they are now. And he thought, and the end, when it can, what is it, the solstice on December 21st, is it?
Yeah.
So when it started getting going in the reverse, he realized that it wasn't, and he made a big party out of it. And Gemara tells us that he made the next year 8 days of a mishteh. The last 8 days of this of the tekufa, and the first 8 days of the next one, and he did it as a shevach, as a praise to Hashem. But unfortunately, the idol worshippers took it and converted it into a chagah for themselves. But you see here, if you look, if you're narrow-minded, if you look at just simply what you see in the wintertime, you see that there's no way that you could derive benefit from the land. Ach bevoy chodesh ha'aviv, when the springtime comes, tischadesh ha'adama kanesh ha'ura, tilbash michse yarek apaneo, it now suddenly the ground starts to sprout, it starts to bud, and now there's a green covering. Life is blossoming again. Ba'ilonais v'chalatzmachim yatzitzu v'yivruchu yasimu k'tera ba'af ha'ivrim alea. Even gives a good smell to the people. It's just very poetic the way he's writing this. K'moigein atem am yeshurin. The message is that the same way you Jewish people, am yeshurin, like timer noyosh of the tikvazi, don't say at a time when it looks like there's no hope, that it's winter time, everything's dead, there's no hope, of the tikvazi. Remember Zachar ayayim atem yaitzim b'chaydesh aviv. I'm in the second to last line, starts with ach. Third line, last line. Ach beinechem terezeno ki talu bigram milas hakedusha anashatuchu lukabal atarekdash. You're going to see yourself that at the time when it might look like you should lose hope, the contrary, just like in the springtime, like Drew was saying, in the springtime everything starts to grow again, and you see that really there was life underneath the ground, etc. It's not that all hope was lost. There's still life going on under the ground. So too, a person, the private person, should take this as an example. Even if he's somebody like that girl that we were talking about before, even if he's somebody that is drowning in the sea of taiva, the sea of lust, he's already sunken into quicksand of horrible averes. L'yomer noyosh. He shouldn't say it's all lost. What looks more bleak than a picture of winter? With snow all over, all the leaves are dead, all the trees look like they're frozen, there's no life to them. But rather, yavakesh mi'Hashem yizbar ki yare bechaz de'agodol, Hashem should place upon him ruach tahara, Allah, a spirit of purity, the Yashav al Hashem b'tshuva, as Yuchal Agil al Reim Ma'alas Hakedusha, the Kadosh Yomer Loi, will be able to become a very, very holy person, and as we were saying, in a very short period of time. Now, you know, about 5 years ago, at around this time, a few months ago. We had the Chanukah Sabayis for the Kollel here in this building, the inauguration of this building. And Rav Matasio Solomon, he should be well, traveled in from Lakewood, and he spoke here in the building. And he said over something that is fascinating. He said that on his way here, he was admiring, it was the fall time, He was admiring the trees and the beautiful leaves. And he remembered something that he had heard in Cheder 55 or 60 years earlier. He said he doesn't remember quoting it in 55 or 60 years. And he remembered it before he came here, as he was coming here, and he said it over here, and subsequently he said it many other times. But he remembered it, he said that he remembered it on his way here to our inaugural event. And this is what he said, ready? Unbelievable. He said that there were kids in his cheder that were not behaving properly. Not in his cheder, in his city. I guess he was in Gateshead, or I guess that's where he grew up. Kids that were wild kids, they were, you know. And the kids in his cheder would sit and they would learn and they were great. So the Rebbe said to them like this. You look around, you look at the other kids and you see they're always passing by the school. They're making noise, they're excited, they're this. They look like they're having a great time. They're living life beautifully. He said, you know what this is compared to? Listen to this unbelievable mushel. He said, look outside. It was the fall, right? You see the beautiful leaves? Look how gorgeous they are. Do you know that across the street there's a pine tree, and the pine needles are looking at the other leaves on the maple tree and the other trees. They're looking at the beautiful leaves. They're turning beautiful colors, red and yellow and orange, gorgeous, and they become very jealous. They become very, very jealous. They look over at the other trees and they see that the leaves now start to detach themselves from their tree. And look what happens to these leaves. Not only are they so beautiful, they start floating through the air. They're floating and floating, and they're free as a leaf. They're floating. What freedom. What wonderful. That's great. They don't have to be tied down to the... And look at the pine tree says, the leaves on the pine tree says, look at me, I'm stuck to this tree, I don't turn any nice colors, I still remain here, I'm tied down, I can't do anything, I don't have the freedom. What doesn't he recognize? That another day or two, these beautiful leaves that are free are going to be on the floor, they're going to shrivel up, and what's going to be left to them? Nothing, dust. But pine needles that are stuck to the tree, they remain, they don't turn any colors and they don't have the freedom of flying around, but they remain green and they remain alive straight through the winter. Why? Because they're connected to the tree. Because they remain fresh and connected to the tree. When you look around and you see people running around and they're having a great time, they're running to this vacation and that vacation, it looks like they're all alive. It's a very silly thing to look at that with tunnel vision. Just look at what they're doing. They take one quick look and it looks like they're alive. But what's the real truth? They're in the throes of death. You know who used to say this? Rabbi Mordechai Gifter, my father's great Rebbe. He used to say over famous, it became famous after he said it. He said, Rabbi Kiva compared fish to water, fish in water, to the Jews with Torah to a fish in water. Why? So, there was a story. My Rosh Hashiva was once confronted by a father of one of the students in the yeshiva, and he said, you know, Rabbi, kids got to do more exercise. They sit around all day at the Gemara. They did do exercise, but at night, not, you know. Give them a lot more time to do exercise and run around. They'll be alive, you know? They'll be alive, energetic. He said, look, Rabbi Kiva compared it to fish and water. So, Rabbi Mordechai Gifter used to say, you take a fish out of water, what happens to the fish? He's jumping around. But if you leave the fish in water, he's quiet. He says, when is the fish truly alive? To the untrained eye, you look at the fish. Ah, now he's alive, jumping around. He's in the throes of death. He's gasping for a little bit of some life that he could have to remain alive. Some water, somewhere, something, somehow. When he's in his life source, when he's in his, surrounded by his in his element, surrounded by his life source, he's calm and cool. And that's the way, he said, that's the way yeshiva bachram, people who learn, a Jew sitting at his gemara, he's not excited, he's not, well, he'd be excited, but He's not jumping, running around to this amusement park, that movie, this restaurant, this, right? Ah, oh, look at this, simple. But that's real life. That's surrounded by the true life. The people out there, they're looking for a little bit of fulfillment. They're not finding it anywhere. So they have to run here and run there, and they're jumping around in the throes of death, sadly. This is what he's telling us. This is what Rabbi Solomon was saying. A pine, I don't know what you call it, a leaf, pine needle?
Pine needle, yeah.
A what?
Needle.
Pine needle. On the tree, so long as it's connected to the life source, connected, it has the sap, it's not going to turn all these colors, it's not going to be floating around and independent, but it has the benefit of being connected and has the resilience to be able to withstand a winter. Why? Because it's connected to its life source. And that's the way the Jewish people are with the Torah. And that's the lesson of Mitzrayim that he's talking about. Chodesh Aviv. It looks like there's no hope. It looks like everything is dead. It looks like there's no way it's going to regrow. But Hashem says, if you're connected to me, I'm watching over the ground. I have my little seeds, little saplings, whatever it is, bulbs underneath the ground. I'm protecting them. And in the right time, they'll emerge and they'll blossom. And that's the Jewish people. Even at times when things look bleak, even at times when things look like all hope is lost, in Mitzrayim we were in the worst possible situation in a very short period of time. V'avi eschem Eloi, Hashem brought us to Him, and we can do the same. Shukoyach.